want? So here's what I want, okay? All of you raised your, many, there's a lot of hands went up here. Probably the majority of people here. And what do you think of that veteran? And how you honor them? You post their picture on Facebook and whatever else you go on. Because it's your veteran. They did something special. They gave their life. They served their country. As believers, folks, what do people around us think? You see, Christians must never forget they are soldiers in a war. Never forget it, folks. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is Paul talking to a young soldier by the name of Timothy. You therefore must endure hardship. How? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one, Timothy, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. When that soldier is out there doing his testing or training or in real life, real action, the last thing they're worried about is some of the things going on at home. Now, don't tell me they think about it. I know they do. But they're out there fighting for their life. And the last thing they need to think about is the gutters need cleaned at home. You see what I'm saying? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Lord, right now, hallelujah, I thank you for this people. I thank you, Lord God, that you'll bless and move in their life. That you'll help each one of us here today, Lord, to leave here. God, determined to be a great soldier. God, that you will bless and move right now, that we will put you first in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. No more monitor. You can be seated. In many churches, just like ours, there stand two flags, the American flag and the Christian flag. They're usually back there, but I had them bring them out here today. These two flags represent two types of freedom. One is a freedom that allows us to go where we want to go, say what we want to say, and live where we want to live, to dream big dreams and pursue those dreams. Somebody once wrote, "It is the veteran, not the reporter, who gives us freedom of press. It is the veteran, not the post, not the poet, who gives us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who gives us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion." You see, veterans all over the centuries have sacrificed so much, folks, to obtain and to preserve this precious freedom, which is also includes the God-given right to worship our Creator anytime, anywhere. That leads us up to the other type of freedom, represented by the Christian flag, a greater freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ, who died as a ransom to set us free from sin. You see, this is a freedom of freedom from a life of futility, a freedom from a life of freedom from the tyranny of sin, of regret, of hate, and bitterness. It is the freedom to love God and to love our neighbor, to serve either of these flags, and the freedom that they represent, folks, faithfully and effectively, we must meet certain requirements. Before one can become a veteran, they must first be a good soldier. So my question for you today is, what does it take to become a veteran? See, not just a military veteran, but I'm talking a spiritual veteran. Paul knew a little something about that. Having enlisted in the Lord's army after encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus and enduring countless dangerous toils and snares and results. See, Paul, folks, was a veteran Christian if there ever was one. Toward the end of his life, while facing execution for his commitment to God, Paul sat in a cold Roman prison, cut off from the world with just his quill and his pen and a parchment paper. And Paul knew that he would soon be executed. And so he wrote his final thoughts to a young pastor named Timothy, passing to him the torch of leadership, reminding him of what was truly important and encouraging him to keep the faith. Soldiering is a part of who Christians are. You are in a war, and you need to be tough. Amen. You see, the Roman soldiers of Paul's day were the toughest, most disciplined, and most resourceful soldiers in the world. They marched around 20 miles a day with 50 pounds of gear hanging on them. And when not in battle, they practiced for battle. They built roads. They built public buildings. Roman soldiers were multi-talented. They threw javelins, used short swords in battle, but most could also swim across rivers and moats to get to the enemy. They could climb walls. They could shoot arrows. They could ride horses and operate Roman war machines. Plus, folks, the Roman soldiers were the national police force, the FBI for Rome. They maintained the peace by enforcing Roman law. Soldiers were everywhere in the empire. Paul had known many soldiers personally, and their examples was in his mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul says to Timothy, "You, Tim, are a soldier, to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Therefore," in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, "therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." See, a good soldier, folks, does not quit because he faces a difficult test or a dangerous situation. You see, that soldier knows his life is expected, he knows his life is expendable, and he must be prepared to lay it down whenever it is required of him. And this is part of what Paul is calling Timothy to stay in the battle. Timothy, regardless, amen, God in his word calls us today, folks, to become more soldierly. Young people, you need more. You need more to be soldierly with you. Yes, sir, Lord, and not whatever, or I'll get to it. You need to say, yes, God, whatever you want from me. Parents, you need to develop a more soldierly discipline raising your kids and managing your money. Christians need to reject life choices which are distracting them from soldiering for Jesus Christ. Older saints, you need to embrace the assignment of investing in the younger folks and not merely looking for their next weekend vacation. Singles need to embrace the opportunity to make a big impact for the commander during this undistracted season in life. You see, an effective soldier willingly disentangles his life in order to please the captain. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, "You therefore must endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You see, the two major points Paul makes in this text involve endurance and entanglements. Christian soldiers live with endurance. Endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A man by the name of John Calvin, he asked his congregation this: have you thrown away your spear? Are you one of those believers who made a great show of valor, but now are more concerned about your comfort, your convenience, your safety? He says, if you have thrown your spear away and are living for comfort, you've become effeminate in the faith. Our true believers, folks, all true believers fight the good fight of faith. And by saying that, the Lord is not asking you to represent him by wounding your friends and abusing the lost. Paul uses the metaphor of fighting, warring, soldiering to call Timothy and every authentic Christian here to exercise the qualities of a soldier who is at war. You see, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight in 1 Timothy. Paul called Artemas, who hosted a church in his home. Paul called him a fellow soldier in Philemon 2. Paul called Epaphroditus, the messenger to the church at Philippi, a fellow soldier in Philippians 2. Paul used each article, folks, of the soldier armament as a lesson for spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6. What does your captain want from you, soldier? You see, instant obedience to his orders, deep loyalty to him, rigid self-discipline, bold in speaking out, and valor in defense of the truth. These are the things, these are the qualities that should characterize each one of Jesus Christ's soldiers. It should remind you that the path of devotion to Christ is not easy or instant. It is long and difficult. You see, maturity and effective ministry requires steadfast endurance and abiding faith to effectively flee sin and to pursue a Christ-like character, to minister greatly, to serve diligently, to discipline aggressively, to teach clearly. Then you must have a soldier mentality. A soldier in warfare demands courage, commitment, sacrifice. And Paul tells Timothy, endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, join in suffering with me, he says. Timothy, join in obedience with me. Timothy, join me in unflattering loyalty. Join me in sacrifice and discipline, Timothy. You see, the main verb, suffer hardship, endure hardship, does not sound fun, and it isn't. It's not. You see, it is a compound verb translated elsewhere as share my pain, take your part in suffering, accept your share of unjust evil, take your part of rough treatment, endure harshness. The word suffer hardship literally means to suffer evil, to suffer trouble, to endure injustice. We get our feelings hurt so easy, folks. Hear me what I'm saying today. I said we get our feelings hurt too easy. I used to always mess with my brothers if they got cut and stuff and they were fussing. I'd say, take it like a woman and cry. One day I was helping my brother pick up a winch, and I said, hold on, let me get a better hold. And while I was adjusting his hands, he pulled that winch, and it fell on my finger. It hurt. I was so mad. I was yelling. And my father said, take it like a woman and cry. We get hurt, our feelings hurt too easy, right? When it comes to us. When it's other people going through things, you can do this. Come on, God wants to use you through this. God will bless you this. But when it comes to us, oh, God, how am I going to deal with this? See, that word means to literally suffer evil, to suffer trouble, to endure injustice. This is the opposite of what you are being taught today in many places. Folks, God is not handing out brochures, offering all kinds of fringe benefits to those who become Christians. He's not doing that. God enlists you as a soldier, and he calls you to engage in battle that will not end until your death, until the Lord comes back. I need a little more monitor, please. You see, even as Paul wrote those words, Paul was embattled. He was an embattled warrior. Paul had been a prisoner of war who was sentenced to death. Paul would remain faithful to the end, and he wanted Timothy to show as much endurance as he was able to. The very nature, folks, of soldiering involves suffering. They exercise until they think they might die. They eat whatever it is served them. They sleep in foxholes. They remain in the dirt until they are told they can leave. The lot of every believer, folks, is to endure hardship, amen, privations, which might include persecution, imprisonment, and maybe even death. See, thankfully, Paul added verse 3, he said, endure hardship with me. Paul would never ask anything of Timothy he himself was not willing to endure. Paul is suffering for the faith in Christ, and he invites Timothy to suffer of his faith in Christ. Not a system, not a religion, but suffer for the person who suffered and died for you. Paul and Timothy were facing potential beatings. They were facing potential imprisonment and death. And you might be facing embarrassing the removal of benefits, the loss of freedoms. And the more faithful you are to the sound doctrine and authorial intent teaching, the more God will bless your labor, making you a target for the devil. You hear people talking about things going on in the world today, and they say that person's right over target because he's being persecuted. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We need to become a target. That way we know we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. And you should not be afraid to become a target because God has your back. As long as you are doing what God wants you to do, he's got your back. See, one of the things about Roman, their armor that they put on, was the backs were open. You know why? Because they didn't want them to turn and run. Because they were open for spears and things to come at them if they turned and run. So they had to just keep marching right into the battle. Just keep marching. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I don't care what comes against me. I'm going to live for God. I may be a target, but I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. I will not turn and run. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, ask God to help you. Amen. I want to be a faithful soldier. See, folks, Satan will put up roadblocks and initiate rejections. He will provide hurtful difficulties. He will provide spiritual warfare, will intensify, and greater hardship will fall on you. Paul says, take it like a good soldier. Endure. Don't run from battle. Don't start living like a civilian. Fight the good fight as you trust in God's control and love and wisdom. Folks, will you trust everything that God does for his glory in your is going to be for good in your life? Every Christian is a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. The Lord is your captain. As a soldier, you fight on the Lord's side, serving under him, remaining focused to your task, obeying his orders instantly, and seeking to please him in everything that you do. Like a soldier, live with endurance under hardship. But in order for that to happen, Christian soldiers live without entanglements. You see, believing soldiers must live distinctly from the normal affairs of the world. Soldiers don't have it all. They can't do what everyone else does, nor do they love this world. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be friends of the world is an enemy of God." Folks, if you love anything about the world, you're an enemy of God. When you are born again, you follow Christ as your captain, which results in you soldiers dying to self and your wants and embracing his will and his wants. Man, I'd like to have that. But until God gives it to me, I don't want anything to do with it. You end up leaving many things in the world when you become a soldier. Things that you were accustomed to. In verse 4, Paul directs this to Timothy in a specific sense of a pastor or supported minister, but in a general sense to every believer today. What he says is, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. An ordinary citizen is a free agent. That citizen can make his own decisions. He can use his time as he desires and become involved in sports and education and business and politics and all these kind of things. You eat what you want. You sleep when you want. You go to do what you want. You dress the way you want. And you go on and on and on as a normal citizen. A soldier, on the other hand, cannot entangle himself in anything that might interfere with his duty. He can't say to his commanding officer, "I'm sorry, sir, but I can't go on that hike tomorrow. I have a game with friends. Then after that, I got some sales calls I got to do. You see, I really don't want to get my shoes dirty, and my wife and I are going out on a date, Captain." You see, that officer that he's speaking to will smile and say, "Young man, young woman, you're in the Army now. You belong to me, and you will be on that hike tomorrow, and there won't be any game for you." Folks, Jesus saved you to join his army. Why would you plan something for Sunday when you could do it on Saturday? Huh? Why do you purposely miss church if you're not sick? You're in the army of God now. Or are you a citizen? You can do whatever you want. You see, I don't understand anybody taking a vacation from church. That boggles my mind. Why won't you get involved in the things at church when you're being asked to help out? You belong to God. As soon as you come down and you receive that Holy Ghost and you're baptized in his name, you are a soldier of God. And you better do what God asks you to do. You don't want to be dishonorably discharged. And you know where you'll find that out at? When you stand before him on judgment day. "Depart from me. I never knew you." You see, folks, Jesus saved you to join his army. He is merciful. He's a gracious captain, but he is the captain, and he commands you to obey his orders. So, good soldiers fulfill their duty. Go back to verse 3. Endure hardship. Endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, Paul not only calls on Timothy to serve the Lord as a soldier, but as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Good means noble or excellent. A soldier who does his very best. A spiritual soldier does not simply do minimum duties for his Lord, but serves him with everything he and everything he has. You're a slave of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. You obey his orders like a slave. In Colossians, it tells you to do your work heartily as for the Lord. Godly soldiers do not merely do their duty, they do their best. You don't just usher. You put Christ on display with your words and actions when you usher. Amen? You don't just merely greet. You graciously take people to where they need to go. You don't just merely teach Sunday school class. You pray and you study and you intensely have an anointing of God and a move of God in that classroom. Hallelujah. You don't just merely give. You give over and above what God has blessed you with. You don't merely just parent. You train. You demonstrate. You invest in your children for Jesus Christ. Like Timothy. Timothy has been rescued by Christ, forgiven by Christ, transformed by Christ. Now he belongs to Christ. And like you, Timothy has a special place to be on duty. Timothy has been blessed to be a man in a strategic outpost in the Christian world. Ephesus, he was in Ephesus, is located on an important highway. And the church in Ephesus is the key center for the work of the gospel in the first century. Timothy is stationed at a post of honor, Paul's handpicked representative as a soldier. And Timothy is on his watch. You see, folks, God has a place for you. Wherever he has you at work, that is an outpost that God has you stationed at. Wherever you live in your neighborhood, that is an outpost that God has you stationed at. Whatever family you visit, that is an outpost. God wants to use you to reach those people. You are on duty. You see, there can be no thought of falling asleep, doing only the easy job, surrendering, or just getting by. You see, the good soldier of Christ Jesus will do his best, which includes good soldiers. They disentangle themselves from other distraction. If I do that, it keeps me out of church. I'm not going to do it. If I do this, it's going to keep me from being the best Christian I can be. Therefore, I will not do it. If I marry this person, amen, they will not be there to support me to live for God. Therefore, I will not do it. If it's something that will keep you from being your best for God, you should change your mind. Are you being the best soldier you can be? Verse 4 said, no soldier is in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. You see, a soldier in active service does not have a 9-to-5 job or merely 60 or 70 hour work week. He is a soldier 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about when you think about that person that you raised your hand. They had to be there. He's on call. His body, his health, his skills, and his time, all that belongs to the military in which he serves. And even when on leave, he is subject to recall at army time without notice for any reason. Whenever ordered into dangerous duty, a soldier is expected to put his very life on the line without question or without hesitation. Come on, folks. Are we being a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Come on, are we laying our life on the line here? That soldier separated from his normal environment so he will not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. Soldiers called to duty are completely severed from the normal affairs of civilian life. A soldier does not become entangled into things that would be hindrance to his single-minded devotion or to gladly follow the commands of his leader. You see, I knew this Marine who told me that boot camp, when they take you into boot camp, what they are doing is they are getting and removing everything in your mind, the way you lived, and they are going to take it out of you, and they're going to reprogram you. Now, our Bible tells us, let the mind of Christ be in you. In other words, God is saying, I don't want you to think like you used to think. I don't want you to think back on all those things that I brought you from. I want to put a new mind in you. Are we allowing God to do that? Are we trying to fight our way to keep some of our what we used to be? Some people really know how to give a pastor fits when they want to live how they used to live and still call themselves a Christian. It doesn't happen. If you want to live the way you used to live, you aren't a Christian. Should I park right here a minute, folks, or you want me to go on? Can you say amen to that? Paul's telling Timothy, and you, as a soldier of Christ, do not let anything in your life, Timothy, to distract you from obeying and pleasing your God, your commander, even though doing so may involve suffering or hardship, Timothy. No soldier in active service entangles himself. Entangle means a best translation to become involved or to get mixed up in or to tie oneself up with. And folks, we find ourselves entangled in things in the world we have no business being entangled in because you are a Christian. Huh? Who do you think you are, Pastor? It ain't me. I'm giving you a word of God. God is saying, don't get yourself entangled with things. Come on. You need to be selective what you get yourself involved with. Because you got a job to do. See, entangled himself literally means to weave. We weave ourselves a mess sometimes. Come on. Paul is saying, do not get tangled up into things, woven into commitments. Huh? Your job keep you from church? You got yourself woven into commitments. Angering things that anger you, to participate in things which will keep you from your duty, to obey your commander. What are we getting ourselves into, folks? Well, it's only going to be this. I'm telling you, the devil will do anything he can to keep you out of church. Come on. You need to show your children that you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to bend over backwards to be in church. Well, I got a couple of amens on that. I don't care. Go ahead and raise them the way you want to raise them. Keep them out as much as you want to keep them out. See how that works for you. Come on. I told you this many times, I don't care what was going on at church. Folks, if it was cleaning day, we were at church. That's why I'm still living for God today, I promise you. I was taught something. You see, folks, you can think those ways all you want, and you think it's harmless, and it's in your mind, and your kids don't know it, but there's spirits that go along with that thinking, too. And that's in your home if you entertain it. Can I get an amen here? Is this all right? Do you really believe it? Or are you just saying amen because Pastor said, can I get an amen? I love you anyways. I don't care what you're sitting there thinking, what a jerk. I'm tired of him talking about that. I'm tired of it. I don't care if you're tired. You know, there's other churches out there. They'll stroke your little ego. I'm here. Folks, I got a job to do. I got to answer to God on your behalf. Paul's saying, Timothy, don't you get entangled in these things. Don't you allow to weave these commitments into your life that will keep you from me, from doing the very best. You think for 1 minute the Roman army would have tolerated a soldier entangling himself in things that would try, hey, boss, I can't come in today. What do you think they'd have done? Anybody? Anybody, come on. They'd have been there and said, okay, buddy, we're taking you to jail. And then you're probably going to get your head chopped off. You belong to the Roman army now, buddy. What happened when Paul and Silas, when that jail shook? They were going to kill themselves. Why? Because they failed the Roman army. And Paul and Silas said, do thyself no harm. They didn't even cause this. God shook that jail and opened up all those doors. And they go, they're going to stab themselves. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. Why? Because they knew they were going to be in trouble if any of these men got away. What a commitment they were expected to hold up, folks. And you think our God expects less from us? Go ahead and think it. You could be wrong. I talked about it here a few weeks ago about reasoning, our self-reasoning. Well, and I'll tell you what, the devil will hand you a plate full of excuses. You can give me all excuses you want. You're going to answer to God. Some of you don't even let me know you're not coming anymore. You can disrespect your pastor all you want. That's between you and God. I'm not going to follow you around, folks. I'm going to teach you from the Word of God and help you to live the best life you can. You guys are getting quiet on me. Come on. Paul is saying, Timothy, don't get caught up in these things. Be a good soldier. Make the right choices. Live the right way. Paul, folks, Timothy was raised by his mother and grandmother who served God. And Paul's encouraging him to be even better. Be a good soldier. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is that saying, folks? Okay, there, you could stay home if you want. It's lawful, but it's not expedient for you. What's that mean? That means that it's hindering your growth in God. Paul said, I will not be brought under any of this. I'm not going to do anything that's going to keep me from living for God. I could get away with it. You know, I can do it if I want. Folks, nobody's twisting your arm to be here. Nobody twists your arm to pay tithes. Nobody twists your arm to give offerings or any of this stuff. Nobody does. But you do it because you love God. But I'm asking you today, what is hindering you from being a good soldier? What are you allowing yourself to be entangled in that keeps you from doing the things that God wants you to do? It's not expedient for you to do it. If it hinders you from doing and serving your God and being all that God wants you to be, you need to get rid of it in your life. I got a couple of amens. All things are lawful. Paul was asked about eating meat was offered to idols. I could do it if I want, but if it's going to hinder your brother, don't do it. You see how Paul was looking at things? There's a lot of things I can do. But I don't want it to hinder me from living for God and being the best soldier I can be. What does it take to keep you from church that you'd go to work with? I went to work with many headaches. I went to work a lot of times with upset stomach. Why? Because if I don't go to work, I don't get paid. It amazes me how often people are sick and miss the house of God. What are you teaching your children? Come on. Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet. You see, I had an example. I saw my father going out to church on crutches with his knees with rheumatoid arthritis swelled up like that big around. Let's go. We're going to church. I've seen these things, folks. I had a good example. The whole time, 8 weeks in 2020, in January, when I was sick as a dog, I missed two services, and I was being tormented by my family to stay home the one day. That's why I stayed home. No, they knew I was sick as a dog. Sister Mary said, she looked at my records, I had COVID. So I brought it here and spread it with all of you guys. See, we didn't know about it, but I was sick, folks. I turned on that camera back there to listen to the message. I'm not just trying to boast myself up here. I'm saying we need to be committed. I got to be an example. I got people here watching me. I got family members watching me. I got my grandkids watching me. I have to be an example. Folks, I'm telling you, it's important to be the best soldier you can be. Let your children see you giving Bible studies in your home. Let them see you talking to the neighbors and picking, carrying them to church. Amen. Let them see you doing these things. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is hindering you from doing your best to do God's will? What is it that you are doing that is not lawful, that is not unlawful, but it is hindering you from being all you can be for your God? Folks, God gives us all kinds of promises, but they all are predicated by if you will do this. And so many times we think we got to take things into our own hands. When it comes to finances, I need money. I got to get out there to work. I can't be in church. You don't trust your God? He says he'll take care of you if you'll pay your tithes. And you'll give alms. And you give offerings. God will take care of you. Huh? Trust God to bless you in 8 hours you give him at work. You don't have to pick up every bit of overtime. See, I told him one time when I was working, I says, look, I'm not going to live here. You see, I come to work to make money, to go home and be with my wife and spend it with her. I'm not going to give her my check and let her spend all my money while I'm at work. If she's going to spend it, I'm going to spend it with her. But that wasn't the only reason, folks. I was not going to be found in work. I'm telling you, this one place I worked, there were so many people going through divorces, and if they didn't have going through a divorce, they were arguing and separated. Why? Because the shop kept them there all the time. I said, I'll give you a few here and there, but I'm not living here. I got a life outside of here. When I was young, I took a second shift job. I mean, there was no jobs when I got out of high school, so I took a second shift job. I'll never work a second shift job again. I will not work something that will not allow me to be in church. You know why? You know why I can do that stuff, folks? Because I know a God that if I put him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. I know my God will take care of me. Live your life for God. What is hindering you? Do it from doing God's will. 2 Timothy 2:4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen, there was a new recruit shortly after joining the Navy who asked his officer for a pass so he could go attend a wedding. The officer gave him a pass, but informed the young man he would have to be back by 7 p.m. on Sunday. He said, sir, you don't understand. I'm in the wedding. And the officer looked at him and said, no, you don't understand. You're in the Navy. You're in the church. God says, you don't understand. You're in the church. I expect things from you. I expect commitments from you. You see, when you serve the United States, you are expected to be completely committed to your country. and to allow nothing to prevent you from performing your duties and serving faithfully. When Adam used to come home and leave, he had to be back at a certain time, didn't he? Why? It's called AWOL. You see, you got commitments. You can take your leave and go do things, but you better be back where you're supposed to be. So when you serve Jesus Christ, you are also expected to be completely committed to his kingdom. You are expected to serve him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing his will. See, unfortunately, folks, countless Christians, after coming to Jesus Christ, do get entangled in the affairs of the world. They let other things become more important to them than Jesus. And in fact, Jesus told a story about that very thing. He talked about a farmer who scattered seed everywhere that he went. And here's what Jesus said in Luke 8, verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Folks, we need to be careful about the things that we let distract us from Jesus. Paul also said in Philippians 3:8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded anything else, counting it all garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Listen to me. I'm trying to close here. There are two types of freedoms embedded in these flags. And we want to say many thanks to the veterans who have served and preserved our political freedoms, which allow us to freely worship our Creator, who gives us the greater freedom we so desperately need. God's army. But maybe you're entangled in the cares and the worries of this life. Stand with me. Maybe you are afraid to engage people in spiritual conversation. Maybe you are enduring some hardship and you need someone to stand with you and help you fight the good fight. Or maybe you haven't enlisted in God's army, but you're thinking about it. Today I encourage you to enlist yourself in God's army. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God, but God knows. Listen, parents, don't ever give your kids one iota of an excuse not to live for your God. Don't ever let them say, I saw you one time, you did this, Mom. See, one of the worst things you're ever going to hear is when they turn of age and you're going to say, you can be in church? No, I got things to do. I belong to a ball league now. I play on Sundays. Why don't you tell your friends at school to come out for the Christian the children's program? Nah, they don't have to say this to you, but they can think it in their mind. You never cared to ask anybody to church. Why should I? There's no song, it's Cat and the Fiddle. Talking about a little boy who wanted his attention from his dad. And his dad was always too busy. So when the boy got older, got caught up in the business life and all those things, and dad wanted to spend time with him, he's like, Dad, I'd love to, but don't know when. We'll get together soon. I've told a story about my dad coming down, waking me up in the middle of the night when I turned 18 years old, hugging me. You know what happened to my dad was he realized, my dad was a good dad, folks, but he realized life got away with him and his oldest son was now an adult. And you might think, I'm going to get better at living for God and I'm going to be that example to my kids, but time doesn't stop, folks. Time never stops. And I just feel really burdened here today, folks, that parents, I'm telling you, you better put your best foot forward if you want your kids to serve your God. We're giving them way too many excuses, too much latitude. You go read Deuteronomy 6 and see what God says you better do to your kids. And I know it's a different time, but you can make analogies to today. He wants a seat on your forehead. He wants a seat on the doorpost. He wants it everywhere. You talk about me. You tell those kids how great your God is. Too many times we see where Israel got away from things. God told them that when they crossed the Jordan River, put an altar here so that whenever those kids come by and say, what's that for? You can tell them why it's there. How important is your walk with God? How important do your children see it is to you? I'm telling you, you can't take anything out there with you. And I think God is tired of playing some games, folks. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. You parents that don't bring your kids on youth night, I pray, God, convict them. Convict them. And God, whatever it takes, get a hold of that parent. You keep your kids out of things of God, or church, children's events, I'm praying God on you. I'm telling you. Because that's how important I believe it is. I care about your kids. It's so aggravating. Pastor, can you talk to my son? Can you talk to my daughter? Can you pray for them? And then you won't do your part. You talk to your youth leaders. Pray for them. Help them. Oh, when they're not listening, it's you're crying for help. But when they're doing good, you don't need to go. Shame on you. I love you, but you're wrong. We have to show them how important it is. Your neighbors need to see how important it is. Let me tell you something. My dad had a junkyard. And you know what? You think people don't watch you? My uncles would steal from him when he was at church. Because they knew what time he left, and they knew what time he'd come home. And they knew he always went to church. I'm just trying to help you to understand how important it was to my dad to raise us right. My dad took me aside when I was 18 and I wasn't doing right. And he says, you know you're doing wrong, son. He said, you know what? You can't live here if you want to do that. If you want to do right, you're welcome to live here. But if you want to live like that, you can't. Not here in my house. I have 7 other brothers and sisters here to show them what's right. And you're not doing that in my house. You think that wasn't hard for him to say? I left. But it never left here, folks. He trained up a child in the way he should go when he's old. It never departed my mind. It took God getting a hold of me almost in a bad accident. And he said, you better get yourself ready. And I said, I will, God. It never left here. And I'll tell you right now, I am so thankful. I wrote my dad a letter one time, and I said, I am in large part what I am because of you. Because he put it in me. He wasn't always right. He wasn't always a perfect parent. There is no perfect parent. But he did the very best. And I ask you today, are you doing the very best? Are you being the best soldier you can be? Paul cared enough about his son Timothy to write him these things and to tell him these things. What are you telling your kids by the life you live? It's your house, folks. They don't pay the bills. I'm opening this altar up today for some people who say, I want to be the best soldier I can be. Come on. I want to be the best soldier I could be for God. I want to do everything. I don't want nothing to entangle in my life and come in my way of living for God.